Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now the pitch. Swing and a drive hit well to left center field. It's deep. This one way back. This one is going, going, and gone. Goodbye. Bang, zoom goes Juan Soto into the brewhouse red seats with his eighth home run of the year. His third hit of the game. RBIs 31, 32, and 33. And how about those 15 hits now in his last 30 official at-bats? And he's given the Nationals the lead. It's Washington 11 and Miami 9. Unbelievable.
It is a Saturday afternoon of Memorial Day weekend. That's all right. It's cool. It's cool. Our little theme song got cut off short. Too many Juan Soto bombs. It's all right. It's okay. You'd rather hear Juan Soto hit a huge three-run home run than listen to Here Comes the Rooster for the 4,000th time in your existence. Not that it's a bad song. It isn't. Alice in Chains did a very good job. But. You thought they were dead. You thought they were down and out. You thought, oh, goodness gracious. This team down what? 4-0, 2-0, 2-1, 4-2, 8-4. And then, boom, magic. In the eighth inning, they kept clawing. They kept scratching. And then they came out a whooping. Juan Soto with a three-run home run in the eighth inning, followed up by a massive bomb from Matt Adams, back-to-back style, and a belly-to-belly, John Sterling style. The Nationals were down 9-8, with two runners on, of course, when Soto, their hottest hitter, over the last week and a half comes up. You heard Charlie Slows mention it in the call. 15 out of his last 30 now for Juan Soto. 9 RBI, 8 extra base hits, and, of course, a 500 average in his last 8 games. I mean, just been tearing the cover off the ball. Like, so much for the slow start. He did get off to a slow start, but he has just been absolutely tattooing everything. And it's a shame that they lost 5 in a row during that spread and during that stretch. Hopefully, while you don't expect him to keep up this torrid pace, hopefully that translates to other guys getting good pitches. Maybe they pitch around Soto. Maybe they go more junk. Maybe they try a different way of attacking him, which they certainly did early in the season. He sort of figured that out. He's now countering with this hot stretch. Hopefully he can keep up, oh, I don't know, a 300-plus average over the next week or so. Again, nobody should expect him to hit 500 over the next week or so, although it seems like the Nationals certainly could use it. Nobody should expect, again, the torrid pace that Juan Soto has been on over the last 8-9 games. But a huge come-from-behind win last night. 12-10 for the Nationals over, yes, the Miami Marlins. Now, you say Miami Marlins, right? You say, terrible baseball team. Yeah, but they had won 6 in a row. Their ERA had been under 2. They just got done sweeping the Mets and the Tigers. The Tigers on the road. The Mets, of course, then followed up their sweep in Miami, which didn't score a run all last weekend, by getting a 4-game sweep over the Nationals, in which the Nationals arguably could have won 3 out of those 4 games. Baseball's a weird sport, man. Everybody says it all the time. You can't figure it out. Matt Adams, who we know has lots of power, who we know is just starting to get his swing back after missing some time. They still don't have Ryan Zimmerman, but when you have Soto, you have Adams back-to-back, and then you just hang on for dear life somehow, some way, as terrible as your defense was last night, as awful as your starting pitching was last night, as brutal as your bullpen is and will always be, the one thing that I think we can kind of start to hang our hat on here in D.C., if we have any hope, any optimism at all for the rest of the baseball season, and I just can't give up. Not before last night. I said this yesterday afternoon right here on The Fan. I can't throw in the towel. I can't raise the white flag. I can't give up. I can't give a no chance. Realistically, I know I did a little bit on Thursday night. I was trying to do that for to have some fun, and because I knew I was being recorded, I just can't give up on a team pre-Memorial Day. I just can't. And the Nationals showed last night, you know what? They're still a bad baseball team. They're still a fundamental, absolute nightmare, an absolute debacle, an absolute disaster. But they showed the one thing, and we talked about this yesterday, and we talked about this Thursday. They showed the one thing that you absolutely cannot accuse this team of, and that is not trying and not playing hard and never giving up. And if you guys who want to fire the manager constantly and blame the manager for everything, and I get it, they're not good. They've been really bad. There's no rhyme or reason for it. There's no excuse. But one of the main things that you should always try and evaluate when you're getting ready to fire a manager or firing a manager, and I guarantee you Mike Rizzo is thinking the same thing. He won't say it. Mike Rizzo is thinking the same thing. If your team, whatever sport it is, appears, because we never can accurately 100% judge, if your team appears to lay down and fold up like a cheap suit on a regular basis, on a too often basis, you fire the manager. If they've rolled over and quit, this team is really bad. They are not a good baseball team. They are a nightmare fundamentally. They are a disaster in the bullpen. We know that. They are injury-a-palooza. We know that. One thing you cannot say, even before last night, last night reaffirmed what I've been saying all week, talked about it again the last 2 days I was on. This team does not quit. This team does not roll over. This team does not fold up, take their bat between their legs, and go home. They don't do that. They're not good. They've got to figure out 17 other thousand things, but they don't quit. They don't give up. They just don't win, usually. Last night they won. Let's see if they can string it together two in a row. This afternoon, Patrick Corbin on the mound over at Nationals Park. We'll lead you up until Nationals baseball. Actually, quick pitch with Craig Heist at 3:30 for a couple of moments, and then Charlie and Dave will stop on by for Nats on Deck at 3:35. First pitch, 4:05 between the Miami Marlins and the Washington Nationals as the Nats go 4-2 in a row. Your thoughts on last night's, I don't want to say epic comeback, but pretty damn good comeback. Did it save the season? Let's generically start there. Did it save the season and therefore Davey's job, at least for now? Or is it just one game against a brutal baseball team who, yes, happened to be red hot? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It is the Rooster with you, Chris Russell. Sean Summers on the other side of the glass with you until 3:30 at 800-636-1067 here on The Fan.
Swing and a drive by Adams. Deep right center field. Way back. Going. Going. Gone. Goodbye. Back to back they go. Soto and now Adams with his fourth home run of the year. Guerrero throwing him as hard as he can. The Nats hitting him as hard and as high and as far as they can. Bang. Zoom goes Adams, his 100th career big league home run. It's now Washington 12, Miami 9.
All right, once again, Charlie Slows on the call here last night on The Fan. Again, we want to be careful and not call it an epic comeback or anything. They had a better comeback last year against the Marlins. Was there? I think they were down 8-0, 9-0, whatever it was. They won that game, and then they went the rest of the way. Want to be careful, right? However, what was interesting, okay, about that, according to MLB.com, the Soto three-run home run, the Adams solo home run, back-to-back, came off of Teron Guerrero. I believe I'm saying his name right, Teron Guerrero. The Soto home run was off of a 100.1 mile-per-hour heater for the three-run home run. It was the fastest pitch hit for a home run by a Nationals player in the pitch-tracking era dating back to 2008. That's 11 years. At 100.1 mile per hour, right? Think about that. It was the fastest pitch hit for a home run in 11 years by a Nationals player since 2008, the start of the pitch tracking era. You know how long it lasted? Matt Adams, one at bat. He hit one at 101.5. Matt Adams then took a Teron Guerrero 101.5 mile per hour heater and deposited it in right center field for an insurance home run that ultimately, and you can never have enough insurance with this bullpen, as we know. So they hit two bombs, one to left center, Soto. That's the big one. And then Matt Adams following it up back-to-back belly-to-belly style by hitting two plus 100-mile-per-hour heaters. And again, Soto's three-run home run, the first home or the fastest pitch that the Nationals have hit a home run on since 2008 when they started introducing pitch tracking analytics and statistics. And then, again, the next batter, the next sequence, the same pitcher gassed it up even more, and Adams hit it not as far as Soto. Soto's was 399. Adams was 392. But still, that at 101.5 mile per hour. Just incredible. Just an incredible kind of turnaround for the Washington Nationals. Now, that being said, there was still plenty not to like last night, right? Still plenty not to like last night. You know, you hate to be doomsday all the time, and I'm not. You hate to be negative all the time, and people accuse me of being negative. I'm not. I'm real. You're not going to like everything you hear because there's a lot not to like, quite honestly. When it comes to the Nationals, when it comes to the Redskins, when it comes to the Wizards, and to a much lesser degree when it comes to the Capitals. You're not going to like it. And that's okay. That's your prerogative. You can do whatever you want. It's free country. Men and women die for our right for you to be a clown and not to agree with me 100% of the time. Because you should. Because I'm always right. Wait, did I just say that? Hello? Is this thing on? I'm sorry. So the Nationals win 12-10 last night, and yet they commit not one,
not two, not three,
but four errors. Four. That's right, four. In case you had Friday night plans, in case you didn't want to watch a team 12 under 500 limping to Memorial Day, I got it. I understand. I get you. You know, you missed a very entertaining ball game. 4 errors. Trey Turner made 2. One on a throw, one fielding. Brian Dozier, who's been not very good defensively, despite only making his 2nd error of the night, he has not played fundamentally sound, I don't think, in backup. A bad throw by Yan Gomes the other day. Is he better than anybody else the Nationals have at 2nd? Meaning when Wilmer Defoe was up here? Of course. Is he better than Howie Kendrick at 2nd? Of course. Can he turn a better double dip? Of course. Is he good defensively, at least this year? No. Even though he's only got 2 errors now. So he made one. And then Victor Robles made his 3rd error of the day, or of the season, I should say. 4 errors. 4. And I believe they were all in the first 5 innings. I'll have to double check that exact number. But I know the first 3 were in the first 3 innings. They gave up 15 hits, 10 runs. McGowan was, well, I don't know what you would expect. He wasn't good. 6 hits, 5 earned runs over 4. A walk and 2 Ks. Joe Ross optioned down to AAA Fresno today. He continued to be awful. 1 inning, 3 runs, all earned, 2 hits, a walk, a K, an ERA of 9.2. Joe Ross optioned down to AAA Fresno today. Corresponding roster move is actually the Nationals. What they did was, I just want to make sure I got this right. I saw it here, and I can't find it, of course, so I'll get it for you. I know they brought back Andrew Stevenson and then designated him. So they did a couple of different little roster moves. Don't get too excited. Nothing big, right? Nothing big. So the bottom line is this. Joe Ross stunk again last night. Matt Grace, well, I gave you a shutout inning. That's good. He did walk a guy. Fine. You live with that. He gave you a shutout inning. Tanner Rainey, 2 strikeouts, 1 inning. Oh, by the way, I don't care that he gave up the home run the other night in the 8th inning. Right now, that guy's the only guy that I think has the stuff to pitch in the 8th inning or in a high-leverage 7th inning spot. Sorry. I know Wander Suero's got stuff, but he is having trouble consistently locating it and not locating it in the sweet spot. I'm not saying that Rainey is the answer to all your problems. Here's what I'm saying. I trust Rainey more than I trust Kyle Barraclough. Certainly more than you trust Wander Suero. Certainly more than you trust Matt Grace, Tony Sipp, Joe Ross, who again now is AAA optioned, or any other guy. Maybe the guy they got from Toronto, Javi Guerra, maybe. I haven't seen enough of him yet. I know he pitched in some spots last year that helped his ball club out with the Marlins. Got it. But I haven't seen him yet. So to me, that's the answer today. Hopefully after Patrick Corbin gives you 7 good innings. But again, here we are. And go. By the way, Barraclough pitched pretty well last night. Inning, pretty well for Barraclough. 2 hits, no runs, 2 strikeouts. That's pretty well. Against his former, I'm sorry, that is. You give up 2 hits in an inning, that's not good. That's pretty damn good for Barraclough. That's pretty damn good for the Nationals bullpen. Being honest with you. And then Doolittle continues to struggle a little bit. Got to be honest with you. I am nervous as bleep about Sean Doolittle. He wasn't good last Thursday afternoon against the Nationals, against the Mets. Closed that game out by the skin of his teeth. And he was really good last Saturday night against the Cubs when Joe Maddon pulled all that stuff. But he was not good the other night in the 8th inning, giving up the 3-run home run and 4 runs overall. And he wasn't good last night. An inning, 3 hits, and an earned run. Now you can't trust Doolittle right now. Trust is wrong. You can't count on Sean Doolittle right now. All right, let's take a timeout. We are going to get back to the Nationals. Later on, we lead you up till 3:30. Quick pitch with my man, the Heist Star. Maybe we'll get him aboard, and he'll join us a little bit later on. We got to reach out to the Heist Star. He'll join us in about 2 hours for quick pitch, leading you up into Nats on Deck. But coming up next, my pal Steve Wino from the Associated Press. He's heading to the Stanley Cup Final in Boston between the Bruins and the St. Louis Blues. Also covers the Redskins and more for the Associated Press. He was at OTA on Monday, so we'll talk a little mix of both next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, good to have you aboard with us. We'll get back to the Nationals in just a little bit. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is my pal Steve Wino. Nope, he's not there yet. Okay, sorry about that. We'll get him up in just a little bit. My bad on that. Saw the number pop up and thought he was aboard. Apologize about that. We will try and hunt him down. Steve Wino getting ready to cover the Stanley Cup Final in Boston and in St. Louis. So he's lucky. Then again, last year at this time, actually tomorrow, the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, I headed out to Vegas to cover games 1 and 2 of the Capitals in the Stanley Cup Finals. So it's that time again. And Mr. Wino will be heading up to Boston for games 1 and 2 up there, and then I believe following the series along to St. Louis. Also was at Redskins OTA earlier this week. So we'll try and establish connection with him as we go along here. One thing I wanted to clear up, because my buddy James Matthews pointed this out. Yes, Dozier, I said Dozier was a Gold Glover in years past. He has not been great this year. Never mind at the dish, right? Where he'll run into a fastball and he'll crank one and he's got home run power. I got it. I understand he only committed his second error last night. You know, you go back to Thursday, Yan Gomes sails one. He doesn't back it up. There's been a couple of little instances where it was credited as a base hit where he did not make a clean fielding play. And in my estimation, could have gone with errors. I'm not saying that they were definitively errors, but like you expected more. There have been a couple of moments where Brian Dozier has shown you everything you need to know about a former Gold Glove second baseman. I got it. There have been a couple of moments where you can't help but be disappointed, and we're just again talking about the little fundamental things, and specifically in the field, just if we're being fair. Not saying he's been awful. Everyone else has been, but there's little things, and they pile up. All right, we do have connection established with my pal Steve Wino from the Associated Press, who does a tremendous job covering the NHL, the Capitals, and as well the Washington Redskins. We were at Redskins OTA earlier in the week. You can make sure you follow them at S-Wino. That's W-H-Y-N-O. And if you have a good Wawa story, I'm sure he would love to hear from you at S-Wino of the Associated Press. How are you, pal?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Do they have Wawa's up in Boston? No, right? Because that's Dunkin' Donuts Central,
do
right?
No, that's out of the Wawa range.
Yeah.
But the Wawa radius is the fact that it's gotten down to outside of D.C., that it's gotten to Richmond,
right,
and it's now in Florida. It's taken over the world.
It is in Florida. I can confirm this about 2 blocks from my parents' house or my father's house, my stepmom and my brother and whatever. They have built a brand new Wawa, so I can confirm that. I've never been to Boston, so I was wondering that, but I didn't think that was the case. You're heading to Boston for the Stanley Cup Final, which begins in earnest on Monday. And, of course, at this time last year, everybody was excited and geeked up for the Capitals, not so much this year. But this is two interesting teams and two good teams, by the way. Let's take the Blues first because you've done a lot of things. You have Berube with Redskins ties, Caps ties there. You have the worst team in the NHL early in January. They spanked the Capitals in St. Louis, go on this great run after firing their head coach earlier in the season and hiring Berube, and here they are representing the Western Conference. Just an amazing turnaround for the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, it's been incredible. And only seven teams in the expansion era had ever gone from last in the league after January 1st to make the playoffs, let alone reach, they'll go this far and make it to the Stanley Cup Final. And for a team that, Chris, that had gotten to the point where would think it wasn't going to happen this year, that you have all the expectations of making the playoffs, of having what you think is a talented roster, and then all of a sudden you say they're the worst, one of the worst teams in hockey. I don't think anybody predicted this. I mean, there's no way that even after Craig Berube, they lost their 11 of the first 20 games he coached. It wasn't like it happened immediately. But Jordan Binnington gets called up out of nowhere. I mean, nobody knew he was going to be this, and all of a sudden he's a Calder Trophy candidate as Rookie of the Year, and this is a whole different team than we saw the first really quarter and a half of the season.
Steve Wino from the Associated Press. You can read his latest on Bruce Cassidy, of course, former Capitals head coach, and as well Craig Berube, who we were just referring to. You mentioned Binnington. I know you, before we get to the Bruins, you also had this crazy thing with the Play Gloria song and the bar up in Philadelphia, which is the area that you're from. Take people behind the scenes on that, because as you know, I get very frustrated that people don't pay attention to hockey unless it happens to do with the Capitals around here, and that's in general, but take us behind the scenes of how that whole story generated and how you kind of became part of I guess that evolution, if you will.
Yeah, this is a wacky one, and this is, you don't have to be a hockey fan if you know the Laura Branigan song Gloria, that right. 1982 catchy pop hit, then this is a story for you. And there's this Mummers troupe, the Mummers parade in Philadelphia every New Year's Day. There's a Mummers troupe in South Philadelphia of all these friends who have been together, been buddies for 20, 30 plus years at this point. And that was their song. Gloria was their song. They win first place. Handful of Blues players walk into this private club, essentially, in South Philly to watch Eagles Bears. They keep hearing Gloria every commercial break. And that was Binnington's debut against the Flyers the next night. A shutout in his first NHL start. They go on this run. And they've embraced this Gloria craze the entire time now, where you got radio stations in St. Louis playing Gloria for 24 consecutive hours after they advance. And it's just been a wacky story.
That is kind of absurd, right? I mean, we've seen weird things like, you know, this take place. And, you know, I remember when, you know, Who Let the Dogs Out was like the thing you heard at every anthem, at every song, you know, every stadium, all that stuff. I mean, it is weird how certain songs connect with certain fan bases, and it just, you know, like at Nats Park, right? I mean, how big was Take On Me years after it came out just because Michael Morse liked it, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say, Chris, is Take On Me also, like the Blues also have a Take On Me bit too, in that they, at one point during a game, they played Country Roads in the third period, and then the music shut off, and the rest of the crowd just sang it. And so that's become their thing, too. It's just, you know, Sweet Caroline with
Boston.
Red Sox. And, and you kind of, their songs become synonymous with teams, and now it's Gloria and Country Roads for the Blues.
So Boston, going back to them, the Capitals had beaten them, 15 times in a row or whatever it is, and then they came in here, shut the Capitals down 1-0 on Super Bowl Sunday, and they just continued to play and just chip away, chisel. And everybody, you know, there are a lot of people that thought they could have been eliminated in the first round in a matchup with Toronto, and yet here they are. How did they build this team and get here to the Stanley Cup Final, Wino?
Well, look, the rest of my bracket is absolutely terrible, but I had the Bruins winning it all from start the playoffs.
Okay, wow. How about that? All right.
Yeah, look, everything else is wrong. Everything else I've said is wrong.
That's right. I don't care about what you get wrong. I care about what you get right, my friend.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day. And that's, look, the Bruins, they're a big team. They're a heavy team. But they're also skilled. And this is, you still have four prominent guys back from that 2011 championship team. Tuukka Rask was the backup when Tim Thomas won the Stanley Cup in 2011. But they've been able to cycle in another generation of stars to where Patrice Bergeron and Zdeno Chara and David Krejci haven't had to be the only players. They've been able to get a defenseman like Charlie McAvoy. They've been able to get a winger like David Pastrnak. They've been able to add Charlie Coyle, even at this trade deadline, and be able to cycle in generations of guys to where the depth is there. This team has been so injured, so banged up, and it was a reason they lost in the playoffs last year to Tampa Bay. But because they have so much depth, they've been able to withstand even injuries this year. And look, Bruce Cassidy has done one hell of a job as a coach in Boston.
Wait, you mean teams can overcome injuries?
It is indeed possible.
Wow, I didn't know that. I mean, you would never know that around here. Steve Wano from the Associated Press with us. I'm teasing. At S. Wino on Twitter. You and I were at Redskins Park on Monday for Redskins OTAs, and clearly the number one story that came out of that, understandably, was Reuben Foster's disastrous season-ending injury. Besides that, what did you take away from anything that you saw and anybody that you got to talk to?
I took away from it mostly that Dwayne Haskins is going to be the focal point of the season. Whether he's starting, whether he's the third quarterback, it's all eyes on Dwayne Haskins at this point. And maybe that's our creation a little bit, but I think the interest is there in this guy. I when you take a quarterback in the first round, someone with a prominent college career, even as brief as it was, and the numbers he put up last year at Ohio State, it's going to be Haskins every day. Like, remember how you could talk and write about RG3 every single day?
Oh, yes.
It's going to be like that with Dwayne Haskins. It feels like every day that's going to happen.
Do you think he's not as much of a diva as Griffin? But, I mean, I've seen some early kind of weird tendencies and things that, you know, might irk some people. But he's nowhere near Griffin, right?
No,
I know it's early on, but.
No, I don't think so. But I do think he's younger than Griffin in that, like, this sort of era of Gen Z, millennial, there is more of a kind of self-centered focus in general, generationally. And I think he embraces kind of the individualism of that in a way that it's not obnoxious. I don't think it's offensive in any way,
right.
But he knows he's a center of attention. He's okay, but he's okay with it. I think he's mature about it. But also saying, like, look, I'm going to prove that I'm good. And I don't think it hurts to have a little bit of healthy confidence like that.
My guy, I am envious that you get to go to Boston and St. Louis. Those are two great cities. But happy for you because you've earned it and you're the best. And love reading your work, pal, on obviously the NHL, the Capitals, and, of course, everything D.C. at the Associated Press. Have a safe trip up there. Enjoy Beantown. Have some chowder. For us, all right?
Thanks, Chris. Talk to you soon.
There you go. That's Steve Wino. At S. Wino on the old Twitter machine. Thanks to him for joining us. We will come back for a little bit more this hour. Big hour ahead. You know what today is, right? I'll let that kind of marinate, and I'll tell you on the other side, and then we'll get set for a big 2 o'clock hour right here on The Fan. Cleaning listener lines. We're going to do heavy Redskins in hour number 2 because today, yes, today, happy anniversary, Danny boy, happy anniversary, Dan Snyder. Today is 20 years of ownership of the Washington Redskins. Yes, May 25th, 1999, a day that'll live in infamy. Dan Snyder, 20 years ago, happy anniversary, Dan, bought the Washington Redskins. We're going to have more on that. Start thinking about this. What's the worst thing and what's the best thing? Because it wouldn't be fair to just do all negative although it's mostly going to skew negative. What's the worst thing and what's the best thing that Dan Snyder has done in the last 20 years? What's the worst and what's the best thing Dan Snyder has done in the last 20 years? We'll have that for you in the 2 o'clock hour right now. Judy is with us. Hello, Judy. Oops. Wait a second. There we go. I always forget what the first phone call of the afternoon. I've got to double press the line. Hello, Judy.
Hey, Rooster, how are you?
What's going on, Jude?
You know, you remember me, right?
Of course I remember you. Are you already at Nationals Park?
Standing in line, my friend. Standing in line.
You get there kind of early, don't you?
Well, yeah. I like to go up to the Bud place and drink a few. Bruce.
Atta girl. Way to go, Judy.
Yeah. I was wondering if you were down here.
No. Well, I'm on the radio right now, so I am down in the area, but I'm not there yet. I think I'm going to walk over after the show for a little while. Are you right by the red box there where I last saw you?
Yes, sir.
All right,
absolutely.
I'll stop by and say hello on my way in, okay?
Sounds good. I'll be looking for you.
All right. Yeah, go have a Budweiser for me, huh? Just make it
absolutely will.
Just make it a Bud Light. I need one of those or 14 of them right now.
Well, that's what I'm drinking. Bud Light will do the trick.
What do you think about the comeback win last night? Were you there for that?
I was not here last night, but I'm here today, and I'll be here again on Monday.
All right. Go get them, Judy, all right?
All right. Thanks, Rooster.
All right. Enjoy. Nice weather. Memorial Day weekend. It's a Saturday afternoon, and Judy is down in Bud Lights. Judy is a sweetheart. She listens to the station all the time. I mean, such a nice woman. And got to talk to her for a bunch at 106.7 The Fan Day when the first weekend of the season. And I think that was the first time we met, if memory serves me correct. Maybe there was one other time. I can't remember. But just a wonderful, wonderful person. So good that she's having fun. And if you're on your way to the ballpark, have yourself a great day. We'll do more Nats talk coming up later on in the show as we build your bridge to Quick Pitch with Craig Heist coming up at 3:30. Nats on deck at 3:35 with Charlie and Dave, and then the first pitch. Patrick Corbin and the Nationals looking for two in a row against the Miami Marlins at 4:05 here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.